been preaching Wednesdays most recently and about what the Lord says about being mean, and we've come to the conclusion of this. There's one aspect that we want to take a look at, or that's the summation of this for you and I who are saved. This subject is it's appropriate for the we who are saved, because there's a whole world of meanness going on all around us, and it's all in our world. It's in the media. We can be drugged into it. We can allow our old man to rise up, which should be mortified, and become involved with it. And we just don't need to do that. We don't need to go there. We don't need to be mean. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins, those who are unsaved, they need to be rescued. And because that's all they have is to be mean, to be against God, and to be sinful against Him. Deliverance from these things. That's where the blessing's at, is to be delivered from them. We've taken a look and used Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, to pull out character aspects about being mean. And we've taken a look at these: hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murderers, and such like. And under such like, we went ahead and took a look at what the Lord says about a lack of meekness, lack of self-control. We got the power to say, but meekness says don't say it. We got the power to do. We have the power to strike. We have the power to whatever, but we don't. We've taken a look also in these and such like. We took a look at vengeance, where the Lord makes it very clear we don't need to get mean to avenge ourselves. The Lord will avenge us. We need to trust Him in that. It may seem like, and the thing about vengeance is that it seems like to us, it's a very natural thing, if we don't get back soon, the weight and the accomplishment of vengeance kind of fades away. And you just don't get, you won't get satisfaction in vengeance unless it's soon. That's, I think that is a general thing in our thinking in mankind, and the way mankind thinks about it. But God is able to avenge perfectly. Time is not a detractor from the Lord's vengeance in any way. And so we do well to rest in Him. We also took a look on the subject of such like about unforgiveness and bitterness. And bitterness is the end result of the pursuit of all of these. And we need to stay away from bitterness. It's the root of bitterness. It springs up, and it says many are defiled. You know, just not the person that has the problem is being harmed and hurt, but those closest will be harmed and hurt. And then what we want to look at tonight in James chapter 4, which we've taken a look at the book of James. There have been some relevant things in the book of James. In James chapter 4, we want to use this passage and another to take us to what we want to look at tonight. The Lord speak to our hearts about this tonight. In James chapter 4, verse number 13, go to now, ye that say, pardon me, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So this portion of Scripture talks about us, the potential that we have to brag. We made in the image and likeness of God and been given many, many things that are like God, being made in His image and His likeness. We can pursue, we can do, we can build, we can accomplish, we can explore, we can invent, okay? And so the Lord has given us that. And so it's very easy for us to take up a brag about what we will do, what our plans are. He says, go to now. You get a hold of this and think about this, and you need to adjust this that's going on or that can go on with us. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go. Okay? Well, and whatever it is. He says, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, we don't, for what is your life? It is even a vapor. Get real consideration of that. We need to get a hold of that. That appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's our state. It's a life that's like a vapor. Well, what is a vapor is just, it can be blown around. It dissipates quickly, doesn't it? For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And I want us, our attention to be drawn to that. That's what we need from the Lord is life. We talk about if the Lord wills, we're going to do this or that. But if the Lord wills and we live, then our plan is to pursue this or that. If we live, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So we have a plan. But if the Lord doesn't give us life, we're not going to make it to that appointment that we have scheduled on our calendar. Okay? But now you rejoice in your boastings. That's what the subject is for this passage. All such rejoicing is evil. Don't brag. Don't boast. Don't make statements you can't back up. Right? And so he says, all such rejoicing is evil. So don't be found in that. Be found as a child of God, submitting to the will of the Lord and our hearts, our brains, our well-being, our physical life is in His hand. If we live, we're going to go home tonight is our plan. But the Lord's will has got to be for us to live to that point. If we live, we'll look to get up in the morning and go about the business that we have planned. But it's going to take the Lord to give us life to be able to do it. He says, verse 17, this is what the principle that we want to extract. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, it may be that those that James is writing to, or maybe you and me, maybe we just didn't know about this. But now we do. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And that's the reason we need the instruction from the Lord as the children of God. That's the reason we even need messages like this to be told and shown what is right and what is good. We don't need to follow after the works of the flesh in any wise. And if we know that and we do so, it's sin. 1 John chapter 1, very familiar passage here. I trust it is with you. 1 John chapter 1, here at the end, we'll pick it up at verse number 5. 1 John 1, 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, of the Lord, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He is the light. Let there be light, He declared. And that was before there was a sun, right? Because He's light. Okay? He illuminates the darkness. God does. God is light, and in Him is no darkness of all. We read in other places in the Scripture that there's no variableness or shadow of turning with the Lord. He is the source of light. God doesn't ever cast a shadow. He's always projecting the light. That's interesting. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we say that we have fellowship with God, if, and walk in the darkness of the works of the flesh. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So that's really stiff, isn't it? I mean, that's strong, and well, it needs be, because you and I, we say with our mouth that we walk with the Lord, but then we live after the flesh, after the works of the flesh. Our subject is what the Lord says about being mean. We're mean in these fleshly character attributes that are sinful and wicked. If we say we have verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, where the Lord is, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I'd not seen that like this until this message. We have fellowship one with another. But if we're mean, we don't have fellowship. There's a relationship there, and it's antagonizing, it's vicious, it's cruel. But here, walking in the light causes fellowship that is peaceful and joyous and well, pleasing to the Father. Think about it this, the Father's looking down upon us as children, and if you and I are behaving after the works of the flesh and being mean one to another, or being mean even to those without Christ, how's the fellowship with us and the Lord? It's not well, is it? How's the fellowship, if that would be the case, to our brothers and sisters in Christ? It's not well, is it? Not at all. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I tell you what, that's a glorious, glorious thing to be cleansed. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, because we do. We sin. We sin against God. We have this flesh, and we lapse back at times and points and back into these things, these natural things, these carnal things. And so we say we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, our Savior, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So see, if we're being mean and following after the works of the flesh, following after that carnal, fleshly character, are we confessing? No, we're pursuing wickedness and being mean. But if we see that and we know about it, as we read there in James 4, I tell you what, and we confess it, we humble ourselves before the Lord and humble ourselves to the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit that lives within us, you know what? He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So where are we found? Sinning and non-confessing? I tell you what, a chasm, a wedge is being driven between us and our Lord. Are we repenting and asking for forgiveness from Him and from those that we offend? You know, Brother Bobby on Sunday read in his devotion reading about offenses and the way that offenses need to be dealt with amongst children of God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord knows if it's just lip service or if it's from the heart. It needs to be from the heart. He sees that. If we say we have not sinned, when we are, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Remember how we read in this litany of the works of the flesh there in Galatians, Galatians 5:21, it says, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's not a good place to be either. And then we come over here, well, let's read also back in James 1. This is a passage the Lord brought to mind during the song service that is applicable. James 1, and here at the end of this chapter, speaking about bridling our tongue and the perfect law of liberty, that is the law of Christ. Remember the law of Christ? The law of Christ is always to love your neighbor. to love your neighbor as yourself. To obey God and love God with everything. That's the law of Christ. That's what Jesus did when He became a man. It says there in verse 27, pure religion, an undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And we remember that one. And it's good. It's right. But what's the second part? And to keep himself unspotted from the world. For someone that's saved and is pursuing after these terrible works of the flesh character traits, is getting spotted up by the world. Because that's the way the world works. The world is vicious. The world does call names. The world is murderous in thought and mean. You know what? We need to stay unspotted from the world. Keep our robe clean and think right, hope right, do right. And as Brother Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, he writes there in verses 8 through 22, he says, do right no matter what. And if you're being done dirty, do right. Then we come over here to Hebrews chapter 10. And the book of Hebrews is certainly a wonderful book and a special book given unto us, written to the Jews. There's much in the book of Hebrews that we learn about our Lord Jesus Christ in regards to his filling the office of our great high priest. You know, Jesus has many titles. He has many offices. He fulfills them all perfectly. And as Gentiles, this is written to the Jews, but it's certainly applicable to we who are Gentiles from the standpoint of what Jesus has done. And we learn how and the ways and how Jesus has fulfilled this. I'm not a Jew, but I have a high priest. I'm not a Jew, but I have a Passover lamb. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? The mind and the cunning and the wisdom of God to do those things? When it looks like on the surface that we're left out. And he, by his love, grace, and mercy, includes us through Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. We come to this chapter 10, and relative to this and the subject, the sub-subject for tonight is this, that all of these that we've seen about, these works of the flesh, all of these works of the flesh, for the child of God that knows about them, and if you've been here for the messages, now you know. Pursuing after them, not repenting and turning from them. All of these that we've dealt with out of Galatians chapter 5, for the child of God that knows about them and does not repent of them and turn from them, they become willful sin. Willfulness. They're not the only way that we can sin willfully against our Lord. What's it mean to sin willfully? We know not to, and we do anyway. We know the Ten Commandments, and we do anyway. We know what Jesus has commanded us, because he has commanded us, and we do so anyway. Willful sin. Let's see what the Bible says about this. First, I think it's good for us to understand that of course, it's essential for us to understand context and who's being written to, you know, who is writing. Well, we believe an apostle. We don't necessarily know which one. There's a possibility, I think, it could be Peter. There's a great possibility it could be the Apostle Paul. We're not told. It doesn't matter. It is the Word of God. But let's determine, does this apply to you and me or not? And I think we can find this out by verse number 19 of Hebrews 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. So, brethren, okay. Well, it's talking to the Jews, Brother Jim. Okay, let's read on. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Christ, of Jesus. Okay, where is Jesus right now? Well, he's in the throne room of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? He accomplished all that the Father gave him to do. Isn't that the holiest place that there is? In the third heaven? Indeed it is. The reference here is to the Jews from the standpoint of the Holy of Holies. But that's not where the Lord is at. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. That's moved on. And of course about the building, Brother Stephen preached a message recently about the church is a building. It's a building made of people. That's what the Scripture tells us. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice, by a new and living way, that is the New Testament, right? We had that with the Lord's Supper, didn't we? The New Testament in his blood, right? which he hath consecrated for us, indeed he has, through the veil, that is to say his flesh. Oh, okay, now the veil is his actual body. Okay, let us draw near. That's the first statement that can give us an understanding about, is this applicable to you and me or not, as saved children of God in one of his churches here in 2023. Let us draw near. Are we to draw near to the Lord? Indeed we are. Let's draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. How about sprinkled from those works of the flesh that we've taken a look about? And our bodies washed with pure water, to use these bodies, these mouths, these minds, not in the things that we were saved from, but into those things that are manifested by the Spirit of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Oh, it gets down to it real good there, doesn't it? At the very least, it's written to children of God. The profession of faith. We have confessed and professed that Jesus died for us. We've made a declaration of that by baptism, by virtue of baptism, and making that public declaration and following the Lord and joining the church in that. Let's hold it fast. You want to hold it loose? You want to let it go? Whose are you? Are you your own? Or are you the Lord's? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Not one side of the road or the other side of the road, but that straight and narrow way that is Jesus. For he is faithful that promised. The Lord Jesus is faithful. You and I need to be faithful too. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. Not provoke one another to anger and wrath. Not to provoke one another by being mean. No, we're not called to that. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, to do well, to be an encouragement, to be a good witness, a good testimony of our Lord and Savior. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, it did get over here on the church too, didn't it? The brother that wrote it is a church man. Are you surprised? No, not at all. We are in the New Testament. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and that's the assembling of the Lord's bodies, his churches, this body that is Christ's, and he is our head, our leader. Not forsaking the assembling. So we have this drawing near and holding fast and considering one another and not forsaking coming together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another to assemble. And these other things too. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, whether that be the day of the coming of the Lord or that be the Lord's day. The days, the times that your church has determined that we will meet together. Encourage one another to be here. Okay, so I think we've got the context figured out, don't we? Who it's to. It's to you and me who are saved and in the Lord's church. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. No passage lays it out more plainly than here in Hebrews chapter 10. Knowledge of the truth. You got it? We've received it. We've heard it about being mean and lapsing back and walking in these works of the flesh that we've been saved from. We've heard it. We've all heard it. I've heard it. You've heard it. But if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth of God about how we are to willfully go back into those things, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Willfully sinning against the Lord with no repentance, no turning from that, there's no more sacrifice for sins. Is this talking about us not being saved? No. When the scripture speaks to us as children, it speaks to us as children, and we're always children. When the Lord saves a soul, they're saved forever. That's the reason that he says it's everlasting life and eternal life. But this is the Lord dealing within the relationship of father and child. What does it say over there in 1 John? If you and I confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for our sins. But if we willfully sin, that means we want to, and we don't repent and we don't turn from that, we don't have fellowship one with another, our fellowship with our Father is getting dark and distant and cloudy because of the way we're treating others made in his image and his likeness. There remaineth no sacrifice for sin. Now, you know, if we, you and I repent, and what repentance means is to acknowledge that it's wrong and to turn from it, then we can be forgiven and washed. 1 John tells us that, chapter 1. We read it. But this is talking about willfulness. We don't hold fast. We don't consider one another and to provoke to love and good works. We're being mean. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth about such, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but rather a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, unless we misunderstand what that is, which shall devour the adversaries. If anybody but the child of God is there, they would be consumed. Here's an example. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Despising of the law of God. Again, this manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit and what you and I are to be manifesting and these works of the flesh that we've been saved from, all that's not just a suggestion and how to do well as a child of God if you want to. It's not that. It's the command and expectation of our Lord. It's what he expects. He just expects that. That's the norm with the Lord and those who he saved. Here's an example. He that despised Moses' law, the law given by God to Moses, but he's referring to it that way, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That's the way that worked. Didn't obey the law, you died in Israel. Of how much sorer punishment, now it's back to you and me, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God. Can you see that? When you and I go back to those works of the flesh and we pursue them willfully and we're not repentant, we don't look to turn from them, we're taking the Lord Jesus Christ, and the language says we're trotting him down. Why? We're not behaving like him. We're not shining for him. We're abusing others and even our own brothers and sisters in Christ, being mean to them. Trodden underfoot the Son of God. And then think about this. And has also counted the blood of the covenant, this new blood of the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking that and ignoring that, not being affected by that, not being heartbroken by that, not being, but no, pursuing after meanness and tromping Jesus down and despising the blood shed for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not my idea. This is what the Lord says. And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. Now, there are those that this passage, folks will take this passage and they'll try to take it and use it to where they can show that people can be saved and unsaved. And that's not the case. That's not the case. People will take this, and because it has an element of weightiness and so very serious, they somehow take it and apply it to maybe people that are not saved. But we found in the context, that's not true. It applies to you and me. You and me. This is speaking to children. Children of God. Willful sin. And here's the sore punishment that we're worthy of when we do. Because we've trodden underfoot by our actions the Son of God. We've counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. See, it says there, we've been set apart by that blood. And here we are found and pursuing these works of the flesh, despising it. Envyings, variance, seditions, jealousy, murders, bitterness, unmeekness, vengeance, trampling down Jesus, despising the blood. And done despite under the Spirit of grace. Here the Spirit of God has moved upon us, opened our eyes, shown us our sin, that this is the most serious situation that you and I have, that we're sinners before God and we're facing eternity in hell in the lake of fire. The Spirit of God showed us that. And then the Spirit of God showed us Jesus, lifted up for our sakes. Not lifted up for people, but lifted up and crucified for me, for you. The Spirit of God did that. And here we are, we're trampling on Jesus, we're despising the blood that's been shed by this willful sin, and we're, if you will allow me, we're breaking the heart of the Spirit of God. Sore punishment for the child of God. This despite is speaking about insulting him. So when we know and we go ahead and do and we don't wake up and we think we're justified and we're willful in it, this is what we're doing. And we could be facing just this. Because we, or for we know him, verse 30, him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Do you think the Lord can be vengeful against one of his children? Mm-hmm. Sure can. We'll remind you about some examples here in a minute. You think the Spirit of God is going to take being insulted, even by a child of God, for long? You think the Lord Jesus is going to take being trampled by a child of God for very long? You think a child of God despising the blood wherewith they were sanctified? You think the Father is going to put up with that very long? No. You know, and if somebody gets away with it for a very long time, as I said, I never want to cause doubt on anybody with anybody in their claim that they're saved. But I tell you what, if you're able to do that and do despite this way and offend the Holy Spirit this way and trample the Lord this way and get away with it, you need to consider what you've got. Maybe you don't have. I don't know. The Lord in the person is the only one that can know. Remember, we know him. And indeed, being saved, we indeed know him because he's visited us and saved us. And he says, vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the scripture says, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, for a child of God that's mature and grown up, and Lord help us that we would get there, that we would do so. We need to. when we would begin to allow these old works of the flesh to rile up in us, that we would think about the hands of God and us being right there in the middle of it. And we'd back off of that. We'd stay away from that. We wouldn't go there. We wouldn't grieve the Spirit in that way. We wouldn't trample our Lord and Savior that way. As we read Sunday in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about the introspection that the church, or we need to be doing individually rather, it says in 1 Corinthians 11 verses 28 through 32, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Verse 29 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." I think we just read in Hebrews chapter 10 that we cannot discern the Lord's body by trampling it down, huh? Trampling it down with our meanness, with following after the works of the flesh. We need to fear. The apostle writes in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, because the body of the Lord Jesus has not been discerned correctly. There are those that have illness and sickness in that church at Corinth." And it also says many sleep. That means the Lord took them out. Took them out. Goes on to say, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." If we would take care of ourselves, when we take care of ourselves and obeying the Lord and walking after the fruit of the Spirit, manifesting that and putting behind us the works of the flesh, these things that we've looked at, nobody else has got to be involved, not even the Lord. And we ask the Lord to help us, and we ask the Lord to forgive us. And we ask the Lord to give us strength to turn and get away from those things and that. And don't misunderstand me, but if we would be so convicted in ourselves, we don't have to rely on anybody else getting involved. We need conviction. You know, Brother David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be some wicked way in me, and purge me." If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. There is that chastening, and all children are partakers of it. It ranges from the still small voice of the Lord unto death, physical death. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I mentioned to you, I believe last time, or in the course of the last week or two, I think at that time was speaking about how it is with the Lord. He'll take so much, and then after that, he gets tired of it. And once it is that we go so far and the Lord gets tired of it, there's no going back. Wouldn't you say that Lot experienced that? He got to a point he couldn't go back. Wouldn't you say that Samson experienced that? Yeah, Brother Jim, that's Old Testament. Well, how about Ananias and Sapphira? They're very New Testament. Right there in that first church, found lying to the Holy Spirit of God when one of the apostles asked a question. Don't lie to the Lord. Don't think that you and I can put up a facade and keep it from the Lord. Because the Lord knows. And He took both of their lives in this New Testament church age. We may have varying opinion about these, but King Saul, he came to a point The Lord was long-suffering with him for decades. Well, that's not true. He was long-suffering with him for a couple years because he lost it early in his kingship. And again, some may believe that Saul's not saved, but I'm of the opinion that he was. There's examples in the scripture. So the works of the flesh, may the Lord help us that we put those behind us. A summary of the works of the flesh, and I've read you this passage before, in Proverbs 27, verses 1 through 5. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And that's relative to what we read in James earlier. Let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. And a man that pursues after wrath, especially a child of God, is indeed behaving like a fool. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. May the Lord help us that we wouldn't be fools. And remember, there is judgment for being mean. There's judgment in this life, and I read some passages to you last time about the prayers of those who are married and the prayers of all of us being hindered because of sin, because of unforgiveness. In Proverbs 11, verse number 17, for the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The cruel trouble themselves. They think they're troubling everybody else, but God says they're troubling themselves. And remember, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then remember what the Lord says in Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 8. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, Jesus declares, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, I think you can get the mean in there, can't you? And murderers, certainly mean. And whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. The works of the flesh are what you and I have been saved from. May the Lord help us that we not pursue after them. Ours in this world, this wicked world in which we live, should be a prayer of deliverance. Brother David writes in Psalm 27, verse number 12, deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. We need the deliverance of the Lord. He writes also in Psalm 71, verse 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in our day, in our culture, we look to this too. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. That's what we all need. That's what sinners need, is the free course of the word. Even as it is with you, verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians 3, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. May the Lord help us with his word. May we not buy in to the mean way of the world and our old man. May we follow after what the Lord has given us to follow after. May we be a good representative of our Lord. May we not take up things that belong to the Lord, but things that are done to us or that we believe are done to us, may we leave them with the Lord and pray that He would work in them rather than taking them up ourselves. Because there are things that, as we've seen and the Scripture has told us, there's things we just don't belong meddling in. We need to trust our Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus as your Savior. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. Jesus, the Son of God, came and was born of a woman by the Spirit of God. His name is Jesus, and He lived for 33 years and gave His life on the cross of Calvary that sinners like you and me can be saved, that you could be forgiven. Repent of your sins before God. Admit to God that you're wrong, that you're guilty. You've sinned against Him, and turn from that and turn unto Jesus. His death, His burial, His resurrection for the salvation of your soul. By the miracle and power of God that you can be rescued through Him. You can be given everlasting life. Be given a future that is connected with God to glorify God. Have a meaning. Have a reason to live life. And be made a child of God through Jesus and what He's done. Turn to Him. Receive Him.